This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hi, this is Rita again. I'm here with 19 Cats and Counting. Welcome back to the show. I am a certified cat behaviorist, as you already know. I have a wonderful guest for you. I can't wait to talk to you about her. We'll be right back after these few messages.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back again with 19 Cats and Counting. We have on our show, this woman is just phenomenal, Katya Koditi. She is a lawyer on top of being a cat welfare scientist. She has a master's degree, and she just knows a lot about cats. She's not a veterinarian, like I'm not either, but we do want to share all her experience and some of the projects that she's working on. Welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you on.
Thank you so much, Rita. I am delighted to be here.
So how did you get started? What got you started on getting involved with animal welfare and cats in particular?
It was kind of a dream a long time in the making. And when I first became a lawyer, animal law was an interest, but it wasn't so widely available in the U.S. And it was a bit shelved for a few years. And I started doing some volunteer writing for animal protection organizations, animal welfare organizations. And then a while later, I was looking for a degree. And I said, okay, finally, I'm going to make this more formal and I really wanted to study it. And I found this incredible program at the University of Edinburgh, the School of Veterinary Studies, that was a Master of Science in Animal Welfare, Ethics and Law. And it was just fantastic. I got, and as you imagine, I'm a lawyer, but I did not want so much law. I really wanted animal welfare science. I wanted to understand the biology of some of these things. I wanted to understand animal behavior. And it gave me, and more, and it gave me, I would say, a whole nother language, and not in the sense of being overly complicated or scientific, but more, it just opened a whole nother world for me. And then I would say, you know, in parallel, why the focus on cats is I've always wanted to share my life with cats, and I wasn't allowed to do that growing up. And so I knew as soon as I'm an adult with my own household, I will adopt some kitty cats. And I did, and I was fortunate enough to share almost 20 years with three cats, of which I still have one, Margot, who's 19.
Oh my gosh, yeah. 19 cats, yeah. And counting. That's hilarious.
Yeah, so Margot's 19, and those three kitty cats, they moved when we moved for work from the U.S. to Belgium. They moved with us and have lived a long time with us in Belgium. And so, yeah, we can talk a little bit more about my current writing project, but this is broadly how I arrived at the space that I'm in now.
I wonder why 19 is the number. I've had up to 20, but I had 19 for a long time. Somebody wrote about me and they titled the article 19 Cats and Counting. And I said, oh, that's my name on my podcast. Wow. So you just decided one day, and on top of being a lawyer, you're going to get involved with cat welfare. And once you start getting involved, you realize how many layers there are to it, how many nuances there are. Is there a particular area that you're partial to? Like, I know we were talking about senior cats. What is your passion?
I would say yes. The passion of all passions is senior cats and making sure we know what they need as they grow old. And as my veterinarian says, aging is not a disease. So I definitely, I agree with that, but they do become more frail. They do have needs that change. They might have changes in behavior. They might need extra help. And so I just feel so much you know, love, tenderness, all of these things, and want to understand them and provide a good environment for them, and also talk to other people who, you know, cats right. are living increasingly longer lives. And I love talking about older cats and
me too,
helping people help their cats live better lives well into their golden years. Probably, maybe if I had to say, if I had to talk about another topic, that would be feline diabetes, because that's something that's very close to my heart, having cared for a senior diabetic cat for 4 years.
Definitely. When the cats get older, they do tend to have more diseases like diabetes. I have a 20-year-old. Luckily, she's still healthy. I have a 17-year-old and a 16-year-old. And then after that, they're all younger. But I just lost my boo-boo at age 17 a week ago today. So I'm down to 15 cats now. And watching him get older and the different, you've really got to watch your cats, because cats like to hide when they're not feeling well. But the different stages they go through as they age, just like people.
Exactly, exactly. And there is a difference. I have a book that I quite like, written by a veterinarian, about older cats and making sure that caretakers really think of all the things that could happen. And there she distinguishes between being senior or even super senior and being frail. And it's exactly like with people, you know, where you can be very senior, like the cat that I share my home with now, Margo, she's a super senior at 19, but she's not frail.
Yeah, that's like my hope. She's not frail. She's 20 and she's not.
Yeah. So, and they all age very differently, just like we do. You could have a 17-year-old cat or a 14-year-old cat that ages, in fact, faster in some ways and does become frail. Or you could have one that's older but is not frail yet. And so it was really interesting to me, because I wasn't as exposed to the topic in humans, but it's basically, it exists, the same research exists for humans. And so this is an area where it's very interesting to better understand how your cat's physiology changes and the way their brain works and the way their body works, and just to be alert to, indeed, sometimes the changes are very small and you have to really pay attention.
My Peanut, he was raised with Boo Boo as brothers, but they're not from the same litter. But he's 17 also. And just for the past year or so, I think he may be losing his hearing or maybe getting a little senile, because every now and then he'll sit in the hallway and just go, wow, wow, like he's lost. And I just go, Peanut, it's okay. And he stops crying. So that is something I've seen in a few older cats. Have you experienced anything like that?
Yes. And let me actually touch on maybe two different things, one to do with hearing and one to do with this vocalization. First, maybe on the hearing, I've lived, one of my cats, Maya, she became deaf in her senior years. And so
I had a deaf cat. Yeah.
It took a while for us to figure it out, because, you know, you sort of expect as they grow older that, and she had some arthritis as well. So you expect them to slow down. You expect them to sleep a bit more soundly. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't always pick it up. But then when we realized what was happening, I read up on living with the deaf cat. And so we started, you know, making sure that we never came up from behind unexpectedly,
right.
or you never touch her body when she's sleeping. You only like tap lightly on the bed, or you like really, I tried to make my steps, you know, super heavy when I was around her so she could hear the vibration.
She feel the vibration in the floor when you're coming.
Yeah. But you know what I think it's important, maybe I'll mention this because I think it's not a very commonly known problem. I don't know if you've heard of it, but I learned the hard way that cats can also develop hypersensitivity to sound as they age. I don't know if you've ever encountered that. But we had that with Mosey, where she would have seizures from specific high-pitched sounds.
I haven't been through that, but I've had clients who have, yeah.
It was dramatic because we'd also never heard of this. And I opened the bag of pretzels next to her and she went into a full seizure. And we were just in the total shock, brought her to the emergency room, and they did not know. And so I had to do my own research. I found a scientific paper from 10 years ago. It's called the feline audiogenic reflex seizures. Something like that. And it's like jingling of your keys, dropping a spoon on the plate. It's this kind of thing that can cause seizures. And the reason for that is also, they're not fully sure of the full picture, but it's also as your cat ages, they lose certain hearing ranges, but then other ranges become more sensitive.
Just like
in
us.
A way, it's related also to hearing loss. So that's on hearing and on vocalizations. For sure, it's something that I've noticed more with my cats as they aged. And this is a normal thing that you read and hear about a lot, that they first need more reassurance from us. It could be one of the one of the ways that they change, even if they were independent before or they didn't need you to say, yes, it's okay, everything is okay. And now they do, because now they're less sure of themselves in this world in which they're maybe losing some of their senses, or, you know, they're getting maybe a little confused. And so they start vocalizing more than they did before.
Yeah, that's what my penis is doing. Another thing they lose, sometimes they lose their sense of smell, and that affects our appetite. So a lot of time I have to coax the seniors into eating. I have to give them something really stinky.
Or warm it up a little bit. That's also another thing that I did, but like very, very gently, so it doesn't get too hot. But definitely with my very, very senior Mosi, the diabetic one, I was always very focused on getting her to eat.
Right.
And so, in fact, I would warm it up. And also, she really liked to be spoon-fed. So she would just sit. Yeah, I would put, you know, she had like feeding station with an ergonomic elevated bowl. She had this, I have hardwood floors, so she had this rubber mat that's non-slip, so the paws would stay put when she ate.
Right.
But she would come up, you know, look at this whole setup, go on the couch into this little nest that I've built for her, and just sit there and wait for me to come with the warmed up food and the spoon and feed her.
Well, that is such a trusting thing, too. I mean, a cat wouldn't let you do that unless she had complete trust in you.
Yeah. We had a very special relationship.
So you have a couple projects going on. Tell me about Minding Mittens. What is that all about?
So, indeed. So I have a couple of things. The biggest writing project that I have is called the Mittens Companion Project. And
I've been to that website.
Yeah, so it's hosted on this platform called Substack. And I started writing probably about 14 months ago.
Okay.
And I've been writing very regularly. So it's still, I have so many ideas, I have so many drafts, I have so many conversations in the pipeline. So it's kind of an umbrella name for the project. And the project has two main parts within it. One is called Minding Mittens. And this is the hub of my writing about cat welfare, cat care, the human-cat relationship, cats and the arts. Sometimes we talk about books or art or whatever.
No, that's good. I've got a lot of clients that have a cat and a dog. So it's good to know about both.
And then there's Letters to Mosi, which is about cat loss grief. And so then within Minding Mittens, we have Fireside Chats, which I do like a little play on words with Fireside Chats. And there I have experts of cat behaviorists, cat fosters, cat welfare scientists, range vets. I have a range of guests that I'm gradually bringing my conversations with to my readers. Then I have Meow Materials and Methods. And that's a play on a section that you would typically have in a scientific paper called Materials and Methods. And so I just went for a little cat pun. And there I take recent studies, interesting studies on cat behavior, on cat welfare, and I summarize them in very simple, everyday terms for people to be able to grasp quickly, okay, what is going on here? Why is it important? Maybe show them something new that they hadn't thought about before. And then the third part is just sort of the residual Minding Mittens, is where I share some personal stories, maybe something about my cat's adoption stories. All three come from different shelters, and one is the Hurricane Katrina rescue. So that was quite a story there. And so, yeah, that's been quite an energizing project for me to have started. I think I just had so much of this enthusiasm and information and energy inside that I really wanted to share. And so I'm very happy to be able to be doing that.
I love that. You know, people love stories about cats. They love the adoption stories. I mean, I know the story behind every single one of my adoptions. And people love to hear that. I think that there's often some things that you learn about cats listening to other people's stories that maybe you didn't know before. I mean, nobody knows everything about cats, that's for sure. Definitely. Well, I know we need to wrap up. We've probably done enough here. We may split this into two segments, which is awesome. I'd love to have you back again, and then we'll be back to continue our conversation about feline welfare. Katya Kuliti, thank you so much. Look up the Mittens Companion Project, and I will have all that information in the website on my YouTube when I release the video version. And I hope you'll come back again.
Yes, I had a lovely time.
And of course, I have to thank Mark Winter for giving me this wonderful spot on Pet Life Radio. I so appreciate it. Till next time, don't forget that every day is Catter Day. We'll see you next time.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.